EMSradio.com.
EMS information for the next generation.
The EMS Leadership Podcast is a production of EMSradio.com. You can interact with us via email, emsleadership@gmail.com, or call us 303-720-6001.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the EMS Leadership Podcast. And now here's your host, Chris Ceballero.
Well, your ears are not deceiving you. This is an episode of the EMS Leadership Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Ceballero. Happy New Year, everyone. And it's been a bit since we've had the opportunity to come and chat with you, but I got to tell you, I'm really excited. I got the band back together, and we are going to start talking about some great leadership topic once again. And let's go ahead and bring him in. Let's not even wait. I am not even going to set it up any more than I have to. Let's go ahead and bring in Don Lundy out there in beautiful. Oh, he's not in South Carolina. You're actually in Southern California. Don Lundy, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Chris. I hope you had a great holiday season, a good new year, a good Christmas, good Hanukkah. It was a great holiday season for us and ready to get off the new year.
Yeah, the holidays are really well. And I got to tell you, the winter's not so bad either, but... so things went well for holidays. Thanks for asking. Hope everything went well with you. And still in California, actually, they're just a couple hours apart, is our Italian friend, Patrick Pianezza. How you doing?
Hey, Chris. How are you? I'm happy to be here. It's a wonderful, chilly, very cold, 60 degrees here in Orange County.
Awesome, man. Well, we're glad that you guys are joining us and excited to go through this process again and start to talk about some leadership topics and, you know, where we've gone. People have said, hey, you're going to do another show. You're going to do another show. You know, guys, it's the new year, and I want to go ahead and set up our talk as we go forward, thinking about, as leaders, we do a very good job of ensuring that our people are taken care of. Let's go ahead and what are the objectives that we're going to help them grow this year and what clinical education we're going to give them or the leaders that are in our inner circle, you know, what are their strengths and what are their weaknesses and what do we have to do to help them to grow over the next year. But one of the things that we don't do well enough is we don't grow ourselves. We don't grow our leadership effectiveness. And if we want to continue to grow a positive organization, we have to grow within our leadership skills. We've got to teach the people who are below us. The trickle-down process is going to happen to the workforce. And we're going to get an employee that has better employee satisfaction. They're going to have better employee engagement. They're going to be part of the organization. And then the end is going to be that they're going to give great customer service to the patients who we're taking care of. And but we don't do a good job of growing ourselves. We don't do a good job of setting ourselves up for success over the year. So what I want to do is I want to be able to talk about setting goals and being able to reach them. So, Don, let me go ahead and go to you first, because I'm sure you've spent a lot of years preparing for your year of what it's going to look like for yourself. How did you go about what education or what skills or what processes you wanted to learn for the coming year?
You know, when people start talking about what's going to happen the next year, and generally, you know, about October, November, somebody will roll their eyes and say, can you believe 2015 is almost over? And here comes 2016. Hopefully throughout the year, at some point, either while you were learning something or you wanted to learn something, you decided that the next skill you wanted to learn was X. Ride with me here for a minute. This is kind of important. This skill doesn't have to be EMS related, and it doesn't really have to be something that you're comfortable with. And I'll tell you a skill that I learned some years ago that I was not comfortable with, that I had never done before, but that I had talked about for years that I wanted to set up as a goal to improve a part of my life that I wanted to do, and that was learning how to scuba dive. You know, now there are scuba divers out there listening to the show and they go, well, that's pretty cool. You scuba dive. What's the big deal? And there are other people that say, now, let me get it straight. You put a tank on your back and go underwater. And it's really scary for them. It was very scary for my wife as well. And both of us and my son learned how to scuba dive one year. That was what I call the outstretch goal. It is a goal that it is not, wasn't in the comfort zone, wasn't something that I was used to that I could say, I've done a little bit of this. It was totally out of the pocket, totally outside of what we would normally do. And I've tried to do that every year, one thing, you know, I mean, it could be a really crazy thing, like learning how to fly. There was one year we decided to learn how to fly. Now, that's crazy, but we did. You want to talk about feeling uncomfortable, it is not like driving your Volkswagen to work. And we learned how to fly, and I got my pilot's license. Now, it doesn't have to be that exotic or that crazy. It can be something very simple and mundane, but it has to be something that clearly puts you out of your comfort zone. And the reason I say that is if you're going to set up, for example, about 2016 and say, what are my skills that I want to learn? What is the new thing I want to learn? How do I want to stretch my education? If you haven't done that personally in some goal in your life, you're going to feel really outside the pocket. And you're going to want to stay with all those safe things to learn something inside EMS, to learn something involving your crews or your coworkers or the hospital, or something really close to where you are. And I can tell you from personal experience, you're going to miss a ton load of great stuff. So I would encourage everybody that regardless of what you think you're going to do in 2016, if you haven't already done it, once a year, you should pick something really out of the pocket, out of the comfort zone to improve your learning experience, to improve your knowledge base. You would be amazed what you learn outside the comfort zone that's going to help you in your career and in your life.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. And I think that, you know, when we think about our work-life balance, you know, personally, I think we need to grow as well. And maybe that's spirituality. Maybe that's your communication skills, you know, outside the home or outside the office. And I think that was a really good point. So, Patrick, let me go ahead and give you this question then. So when we think about setting goals, whether it's personal, whether it's professional, what is it that keeps us true to that goal? I mean, one of the things that I always had some challenge with was, you know, the schedule was a problem and resource management is a problem. And I have to get to these meetings and I've got it. And sometimes I just I'm not able to stick to my goals. I mean, what's the best way that we can keep on task and ensure that we're going to get to the end of whatever that journey is for us?
I find public shaming to work really well.
I'm sure that works well in California.
Well, I mean, what I mean by that is more than just tongue in cheek. And my best example of this is Quint Studer one time said he wanted to lose weight. And he asked the exact same question. You know, I'm too busy. I can't go to the gym. How do I keep myself honest? And he tells the story that he once a week, he would email his weight out to the entire company. And that's really what kept him honest. You have to have a close, I wouldn't recommend doing that, but you have to find a group of people, whether they're very close friends or whether they're, you know, frenemies, just to be able to keep yourself honest. Post them, keep them updated on your goals. Someone who's going to not only reward you or make you feel good when you hit a milestone, but also somebody who's going to give you a tough time when you're not doing. Somebody to call you out and say, hey, you said you were going to do this. Where are you at? And I think it could be a close friend. It can be a group of friends. It could be any number of people. But when I say public shaming, I'm saying you have to have skin in the game, just like anything else. You look at it almost like a corrective discipline, right? So I expect you to hit certain number of milestones or else, and the or else in that situation typically is further discipline or potentially termination. There's a little bit of that goes in. And when we're talking about personal development, it's more about how can we be the best version of us? What can we do? So let's say you commit to reading a book a month. Who are you reporting out to? Is there perhaps somebody on your board? Is there your CEO? Is there a county commissioner? Somebody above you that's saying, hey, you said you were going to read How to Win Friends and Influence People. What was your favorite chapter? Tell me about it. You need somebody who's going to keep you honest. And oftentimes it's easier to put stuff like that out in social media, but that's not going to be an effective tool because nobody tells the truth on social media. So I think it's one of those things where you have to find a good friend, a mentor, someone you work with. And they don't have to be, you know, your best friend, just somebody that you know is willing to keep you honest. So when you say something, they'll be able to, you know, make sure that you hit those milestones. So while I say public shaming and a bit tongue in cheek, I always find it better to go on these journeys with somebody else, somebody who's going to either read that same book or pursue that pilot's license with me, or you know, something like that. And that usually works out really, really well for me.
Awesome. And I just, for the record, I never lie on social media. So, you know, I see your point. And I think that having somebody or an accountability partner is always important in things that you do. You know, one of the things that I always find difficult for me is, how do I know, as a leader, how do I know what goals that I need to work towards? You know, Donna, and I'm going to come to you with this question. You and I were in a similar position. We were the chief of our organizations. You know, we were kind of at the top of the food chain. Who's coming to us and saying, you know, Chris, I think you need to work on your communication skills. You know, maybe your conflict resolution, maybe you need to learn a little bit about emotional intelligence. But who's doing that for us? So how are we going to be able to kind of polish those skills we need to and ensure that our strengths and weaknesses aren't working against each other?
I think number one, and I think a lot of managers sometimes don't do this, you need a circle of what I call a circle of trust. And that's not a yes man or a yes woman. Close friends, usually it's less than six. I mean, it's a pretty small circle. But people that will have the guts to call you and tell you what you might not want to hear. And they'll also tell you great things you want to hear. But they're not afraid to say, listen, your delivery stinks. You've got to change that. Or Here's something that it bothers me, and I thought you'd want to know. Now, whether you take that to heart or not, you know, is your choice. But I think they have to be friends. I have five very close friends. One I've known since the third grade. If he came to me and said X, I would believe it, and I'd say, okay, here's something I've got to work on. The second thing we need to realize is that there will be a plethora, especially when you're a leader, a huge bucket of people that will come to you to tell you exactly what's wrong in the world. And it's okay to listen to that too, certainly, but you need to take that with a grain of salt, because there are generally people that don't really see the big picture as a leader as you do, and it's not their fault, it's just they're not in that position. So when I say that, certainly people come to you who you work with, and you work for, and they work for you, and they say, look, this issue X, you know, really, you really need to work on that for a little while. And I always take that to heart, especially if I hear more than one person tell me that, then I know it's just not somebody, you know, flying off the handle. However, you know, having said that, those five people or six people that are close to you should always be people that you're able to reflect stuff off of. Say, hey, somebody came up to me the other day and said, I'm ugly as sin. And you know, you really think I'm ugly as sin? And they look and say, yes, you are ugly as sin. Well, okay, then there's something I got to work on. And, you know, change the orange hair or whatever it's going to be. So I think we always need to trust what we hear. We certainly need to have very close friends that will not be, yes, you're wonderful friends. They'll tell you to your face good and bad things. And the third thing I do is always trust your heart. If in your heart you know something's got to be fixed that you're doing or that you're not doing or something that you're not, you really need to take that to heart and say, I just got to fix that and start the process by learning something new or stepping out. And if you, I would tell everybody that if you hear something and it really makes you feel uncomfortable, it's probably more true than not, because we don't like to hear things uncomfortable about ourselves and about our leadership skills. So always be cautious that when a friend tells you something, you know, to not say, hey, that's not right, or hey, that's not good. They're not doing that to hurt you. They're not doing it to whack you in the head. They would really like to see that part of you changed. And if it's able to be, then so be it. I think it's always good to listen to opposite viewpoints.
You know, one of the things, and I think you bring up some good points, one of the things that I used to do, and Patrick, I want to ask you the same question just to hear your thoughts on it as well. But one of the things I used to do is I used to ask my workforce one of four questions when they would come into my office. I would ask them, what can I do for you today? Or where are you in reaching your goals? Or the third one was, if you were the chief of this department and you could change one thing, what would it be? But my fourth question was, how can I do a better job for you? And I don't think that we should be afraid to ask that question to the workforce, because there were people who would say, you know, sometimes I think, you know, you jump to conclusions, or sometimes I think you, and you want to be able to hear those things, and you want to be able to start that, maybe even some of that healing that may have happened. You know, it seems that anytime you were giving somebody corrective action, or anytime you had to talk to them about, you know, this is the last time I'm going to mention your truck is filthy, people get a little bit hurt and people get a little bit resentful. And sometimes you have to do some of that healing. So I think asking the question, how can I be a better leader for you, really doesn't change your leadership philosophy, but maybe allows you to focus in individually on leading that one individual instead of the mass of the group. So Patrick, from your side, if you were going to be asked the same question, how do we know? What do we got to fix?
The first thing I would do is I would partner with my HR department. Now, for those of you that are in smaller departments, I realize that that HR department might be you. But the good news is that you can farm this out. For those of you that are in larger municipal areas or more private agency that probably have over 100, 150 employees, your HR department's most likely going to be fairly robust. And so what I would do is every HR department either has access to or knows about a 360 evaluation. If not, you can also partner with professional organizations. I'm a huge fan of the American College of Healthcare Executives. I'm sure that the NAEMT also has resources for leadership development as well. And if nothing else, you can go to the SHRM website, which is the Society for HR Managers, and find useful resources there. But there are formal surveys that you could do with your staff. And if they're done ethically, they should be anonymous. But what you do is you choose about 4 to 5 people who work directly for you, perhaps staff that are 2 and 3 levels beneath you. And if you have an assistant, you know, that person. And then as well as whoever you report to, if you report to a board, if you report to an owner, if you report to a county commission, whatever that structure is, and you have them take that survey on you. And then the hard part is not so much getting them to do the survey, but taking an honest look at the feedback, because these people should know that it's anonymous. And as you look at that, that should highlight areas that you do really well, and more importantly, things that you should focus on as a leader to improve upon. Now, I say all of that to say Gallup has some amazing research that says that things that you are really poor at, you most likely are not going to improve by leaps and bounds. There's an entire philosophy, in fact, a book out there called StrengthFinders, where you truly hammer at what you're already good at and make those skills better. But we can't do that this day and age without at least appreciating or realizing where our fallouts are and where we can improve. But don't expect to go, if you're a hermit and you hate talking into a crowd, don't expect to go from that to, you know, Mark Cuban standing on television with just one class. It's going to take some instrumental work, but really I would say focus on your strengths, but be open to the comments that these individuals would make to you, and keep yourself aware. I think what Don said was really poignant. You have to be willing to pay attention, because oftentimes it's a hit to the ego if somebody comes up to you and says, you know, your jokes aren't funny and you're coming off as, you know, offensive in some instances. So being able to hear that feedback and not immediately go to, well, you know, you just don't understand me, is really difficult, but it's the hallmark of a good leader to be able to listen to criticism and do something about it.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that it makes me think as you're talking, Patrick, is now we're getting into this process that, you know, we've determined our goals and now we've set out whatever that plan is to get to that next step, Don. And, you know, one of the things that really gets in the way is me not completing the goals that I need to complete for myself. We've got a desire that we want to change. We've got some willpower that we want to move forward, but it's the persistence in reaching that goal that sometimes we lose. And when we lose that persistence of wanting to attain because of the excuses we make of, I have no time, I've got too many things on my schedule, you know, I get home, I don't have time, you know, so we're making these excuses from the departure point of where we are to where we want to get to. I mean, how do we keep ourselves on track of finally getting to the end of 2016 to say, look what we attained, or look what I attained?
I think the number one thing we do is we don't overload ourselves with so much that we set ourselves up to fail before we start. And I think Patrick made a good point. Starting slowly and evenly and being able to realize that the X that you want to fix, the X or the Y, whatever it is, it's not going to be one class or five classes. And yes, it is going to take some time. You know, my father, God rest his soul, when I would make an excuse as a teenager, well, I didn't have time, and he would look at me and say, "You got to make the time." And as a teenager, I never really understood what he meant. And as I grew up, I realized that most of the things that we do in our life, we don't have the time for any of that either. Either the really serious stuff or the silliness that we do, we don't have the time for that either. But we sure manage to make the time. We make the time for our family. We make the time for our friends. And we make our time for projects that we're interested in. And sometimes when we talk about self-improvement, we're really not interested in that because, like you said, it's a hit in the ego. I don't need to improve myself. I'll just nobody will notice. And yet, everything we do, everybody notices. And they want to be like us. And they want to see, they really do want to see us as a leader succeed, even though sometimes people would believe they don't. That's not true. But I think if we decide we're going to do 10 things this year or 5 things this year, I think it's always best to start very slowly and say, now, what can I accomplish? And if before you've said the first thing, you say, I don't have the time, well, it's not that you don't have the time. You're not making the time. There is so much time that we waste on so many things, one of them being the big giant glass box in the family room, which we click through movies we've already seen and TV shows we've already seen, and at the end of the night we go, oh man, I just didn't have any time on my hands, when in fact we know that most everything on TV today is not very valuable. We waste our time on the internet searching for stuff. I mean, it's unbelievable the amount of time that we really have that we don't really utilize very well. So I would tell people who say, well, you know, I want to do 10 things and I'm not going to be able to. Well, that's right, you're not. But take the best one or two and see what progress you can make. Because you don't get to the end of 2016 and you finished it doesn't mean it's a failure. It just means it took longer than 2016. But I would say on any project that you work, and anybody who's done this, they know this is true, that very first step that you do, that very first part of the project is the hardest slash scariest slash hardest part of the project. Now, the rest of it kind of slides in and gets it done. People have gone back to school. The very first day I went back to school at 42, scared to death, hardest thing I ever did. And after the first class, it was a cinch after that. It's just taking that very first step and getting it done and not overloading yourself on too much so that you're already going to fail before you move.
Yeah, and I like that you said that one step at a time. I mean, Les Brown says that, you know, to get something you've never gotten, you've got to do something you've never done. And I think that we forget sometimes that those journeys start with the first step. So, Patrick, let me go ahead and ask you this. You know, looking at you, you look like a guy who's not met their goals in a lot of things. So I just want to say that up front. But I want to talk specifically, you know, personally from a standpoint of what do you use to motivate yourself that now you've outlined these goals and now you know that this is where you want to end up. This is the journey you're going to take to reach this goal, whatever it is. How do you keep yourself motivated to reaching that goal?
I always try to look at what's the best possible scenario when you get done. And that's what really motivates me. So I look at where am I today versus where can I be tomorrow? And that's, it's one of those things. I use that for when I work out. I use that for when I'm at work. And to me, that's part of that is that internal drive of, okay, I'm doing this well today, but I could be this tomorrow. And so how do I get from here to there? And like Don said, it's one step at a time. I'm not going to go from this to, you know, the United States president. And that's, for the record, not one of my goals, but Pianeta 2016. But
I want to be your Secretary of Defense.
I've done. It's one of those things where you have to have an idea. It's the old Franklin Covey, start with the end in mind. And that really is what it is. And sometimes it's as simple as writing the goals down and looking at it every day. So that's what motivates me, is I look at things from that perspective of, here's where I am today. Am I uncomfortable enough today to warrant a change? And that's a real honest question that only you can answer. And if you're comfortable with where you are, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you really want that change, if you want that degree, you have to put it out there. There has to be some pain associated with not currently being there. So I'm not trying to sound like I'm some intrinsic motivational guru, because in all honesty, I'm really lazy at things that don't interest me. But for things like professional growth and development, that's one of the things I'm passionate about. I take, like Don was saying, he learned to fly. I have an interest in that, not hard enough to actually pursue that yet. But artistically, I took ceramics classes just because it was something that I thought was interesting. And it changes your perspective. These little things that kind of go seemingly out of nowhere really make an impact. And so for me, it's starting with the end in mind. What's your goal? Are you comfortable where you are, or is there enough discomfort to cause you to change? And so for me, it's constantly looking at how are you making yourself better? And Franklin Covey's also a big advocate, and I am too, of writing down your own personal mission and vision statement. Who are you? What is the ideal version of you? And how do you get there? What is there's a great practice called what's your job and what's your purpose? And you look at that, so you could say, I'm a leader. That's my job. My job is to do HR things, improve the outcomes for my operations and my organization, make sure I hit budget targets and other quality metrics, including patient experience, financial indicators, etc. That's my job. As a leader, that's what I'm expected to do. What's my purpose? My purpose, and I'll share it with you, is, and this has been my guiding philosophy for a long time, is simply to make healthcare better. That's what I got started doing when I was 19. And it's driven my career ever since. And so for me, that's my mission statement. And I'm never going to leave healthcare. I know that about myself. So for me, it's how do I make healthcare better? And that's my mission statement. It's simple. It could be considered cliche, but that's what gets me out of bed in the morning. Cause I know that, yeah, I've got a purpose. My job is to work at a hospital and make sure that patients are happy and we get reimbursed proficiently by HCAHPS. But ultimately the thing that drives me to be better is that I want to make healthcare better for everybody, not just, you know, for myself. So I don't have a great Yoda-like answer for that question, but that's what gets me up and out every day.
No, I think that's good. And, you know, and it's the desire, it's the passion, it's the motivation that we have, that we create for ourselves, that allow us to do that. And I think this has been a really helpful show. Hopefully that people now, as we start the new year, will kind of look at this and say, you know what, I should set a goal for myself. So Don, as we go ahead and close now, talk to the people that are out there and share with them in your years of experience the importance of goal setting for professional development.
Well, I think it's important for a couple of reasons, both from a profession that we tend to be goal-oriented in what we learn for patient care. And as paramedics, we knew we had to learn how to start an IV and open an airway and do all those. And we learned those goals. We got them done. We checked them off. When we got to leadership, in many instances, we kind of plugged down the road as it went along and figured that we'd just get it done the way it's been done. Hopefully, you know, nobody will get a schedule change that's crazy or whatever. And most leaders learn real quick that professional development, to learn something, how to improve something, to just stop slamming your fist on the desk and saying, I can't seem to get to those meetings on time, and to change it, is really life-giving when you step out there and finally decide to do it. A lot of people that know me know that about 5 or 6 years ago, I decided I was going to start going to the gym. And I've got to tell you, I'm very uncomfortable in a gym. I mean, there's lots of people really in good shape, and I know I'm not, nor will I ever be. Over the last 5 years, it's gotten into a habit, and I actually enjoy it, believe it or not. I mean, getting up early and doing that, I really enjoy it. So I think goal setting is a couple of things. One, to make the commitment, and I think Patrick mentioned you know, you see leaders who have a whiteboard in their office and they'll write on one of the corners, fix the car, or get a scheduling program going, or learn how to juggle, or whatever it is you're going to put up there, and they write it down, and every day they come in and they see that goal. I think that's important to see it, to make it physical in front of you that it's there. Even if there are some days that you sigh and you go, oh, well, I'm not going to be able to do any of that. Well, that's okay. Things happen. And the other thing is to always remember that it's not just the job that you're developing. It's your life. It's your life with your life partner. It's your life with your kids. It's your life in general. You know, this isn't a dress rehearsal here. I mean, we're here for, theoretically, we could be here for 100 years. And when you think of it, 100 years is that. It's nothing. And we've seen people, we've taken care of people who didn't have 100 years. And some did some, I mean, we've read obituaries. Some people did some awesome things. And some people just seemed like they stood there. We don't want to be the leaders that kind of stand there and watch the parade go by. We want to be part of the parade. We want to play the music. We want to sing with the folks, and we want to learn stuff different. And if that means sometimes we're in a parade and say, boy, I'm uncomfortable in that parade, well, that's right where you need to be then.
So to me, goal setting is one of those things that, like Don said, is part of day-to-day life. And you set a goal to get out of bed. You set the goal to take a shower. You set your goal to make coffee. And while those seem like simple tasks that are laughable, admittedly so, that's really what happens in the day-to-day life. So when you start planning out your life in a longer term or longer version, it's where do I want to be in 3 years? Where do I want to be in 5 years, 10 years? And you start making small incremental improvements to those goals. But you can't do that unless you have some sort of goal in mind. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I don't expect anyone, including myself, to have a five-year game plan and I know what I'm going to be doing for today for the next 800 days in order to get to where I'm going. But if you don't at least have a beacon somewhere out in the future that says, hey, this is where I want to be when I end up, or at least that this is the waypoint I want to hit, it makes it very difficult. So goal setting is not some, and not just some business strategy that's out there to help improve you to become a better leader, which it's very useful for that, but it's also in life. What do I want retirement to look like? Do I have enough money saved up? Am I putting enough money away in my 401k or whatever that retirement plan looks like to you? Will I be able to volunteer? What is truly going to be my passion? What is it that I enjoy doing? If it's teaching, how do I get that teaching credential? So when it comes to goal setting, just in general, realize that there's multiple paths to get there, but you can't get there without knowing what the destination is, or else, like Don said, we're just kind of fumbling through, and this is not a dress rehearsal. And for the love of God, this topic can be really heady, but it can also be a lot of fun. Like I said, I took a ceramics class. Why? Because why not? Find out different things that you can do that might tickle your funny bone, that'll push you, make you a bit uncomfortable, because I promise you that those enriching experiences will change your perception to a certain degree, or change the way that you look at things, which will make you a better leader in the outcome. So as it pertains to goal setting, it's something as simple as, I feel like getting out of bed today. And sometimes it's, I really don't feel like getting out of bed. But those are different goals. And so the ability to have them, the ability to set them, even if there's not a clear definition on how to get there, or even a final endpoint or a completion date, as long as you're striving for something, that's what I think makes you a better leader.
And let me just add on that, Patrick. It was great. I think if somebody's doing a goal setting project and they say, boy, this is really hard, that's right where you're supposed to be. It's supposed to be hard. If it was easy, everybody would do it.
Really good points. You know, one of the things that I want to share with everyone out there is this. It's good to be goal-oriented, but what happens when we reach the goal? A lot of times we don't take the next steps of saying, what's the next goal? So I'm going to suggest that you stop being goal-oriented and focus on being growth-oriented, because that is never going to end. And as a leader, you've got to be able to take the steps to ensure that you get to the next level, so now you can ensure that you're growing your organization and growing the people who are with you. You're their leader, and your leadership effectiveness depends on it. So pick things that you want to be able to do, that you want to be able to grow in. Stop wishing. I wish I was a better leader. I wish I was a better communicator. I wish I could motivate that person. Start willing it to happen. And when you look at it in that focus and you're persistent to the edge of saying, I'm going to increase my communication skills. I'm going to find out more about self-motivation. I'm going to find out more about inspiring, you know, inspiring the workforce. Will those things to happen? Because your leadership credibility, integrity, longevity is going to really depend on that. So goal setting is important. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you that this year, one goal per quarter look at, and something that's small, and then pick something for the end of the year that you want to achieve. And then in 2017, you know, let's talk about what they were, and let's go ahead and grow on that as the years come on. But, you know, just saying, just wishing, I wish I knew how to do this, isn't an answer. And really, it's an excuse. We got to get rid of the excuses and now move towards the willing to say, this is the way that it's going to be.
A real quick tag onto that is, don't fear perfection. There's a great quote by Salvador Dali that says, have no fear of perfection, you'll never reach it. If you're not good at something, that's okay, you'll get better, but don't wait for everything to be perfect. If you wait for perfection or if you strive for it, you will burn out. Realize that it's a learning curve. You're trying to improve what you already have. You're not going to step out the gate and be the expert or be perfect at it. So again, I love what you just said, Chris, about you can't wish, you've got to work for it. But don't expect perfection at all. That's completely unrealistic, and realize that it's part of the growing pains.
I agree 100%. Don Lundy, Patrick Pianetta, it's a great first show back, and I look forward to more throughout the year. Thanks for joining us. And everybody out there, it's great to be back with you on the EMS Leadership Podcast. And until next time, this is Chris Sabalero. We'll chat with you again real soon.